want to talk about trusting in God's work. Trusting in His work is the title of the message this morning. And, you know, that's something we should all do. We should trust that God's in control. We should trust that God is doing what He wants to accomplish in our lives if we let Him. We all know that verse in Romans 8, verse 28. It says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to His purposes." Do you believe that God is doing a work in your life? Do you believe that He is behind the scenes doing something for you, working all things out for good? It may not feel like it. It may not seem like it. It may seem like it's a long time, but God is doing something in your life. There's no doubt about it. Because God's always at work in our lives. And whether we feel it, whether we know it, whether we experience it, doesn't matter. Because we know, and that's what I love about the Apostle Paul, we know that all things work together for good. Whoa, that's so cool. I love that. That's right. I love it. I love it. It's great. It's perfect. Do you know that God's working whatever's going on in your life for good? You got to be patient. You got to let the process unfold. Sometimes He works quickly. Sometimes it takes years. But God is at work. And it's our job as believers, as His kids, as His sons and His daughters, what? To trust Him. To trust that He's working behind the scenes. To believe that. To not succumb to the emotion of, I don't see God working, I'm not getting what I want. No, to know, okay, God, You're allowing this in my life, You're not changing my circumstances, but I'm believing and trusting that You're at work in my life because I'm Your child. And He loves you so very much. You understand that? He loves you so much that He gave His Son for you. That's an amazing amount of love. And to never come to a place where you think that God doesn't love you anymore or that God isn't happy with you anymore. No, it's because of what Jesus has done that we're in right standing with God. And because of what Jesus has done, we can have hope like the Apostle Paul to know that He's working all things out for good. Listen, there's a lot of experiences that we've all had in our past and wish that never happened. Ever pray that prayer? Lord, I wish that never happened. But it did, and you're still here, and God's still good, and He's still working. So trust Him. Trust the process that He's showing you. See, we may not understand God's big plan, other than getting us to heaven, but we should trust that He has a plan for each of us. He has a plan for you. And you might think, well, I'm a nobody. God loves using nobodies. Even just ask Gideon. He was literally a nobody. And look what God did in his life. So to believe that God's working, everything in our lives happens the way God wants it to happen. And you might think, well, I've made some mistakes. Yep, and God knew you were going to make that mistake. That's the beautiful thing about it. God knows. He still loves you. Still wants to do a work in your life. Well, for the Apostle Paul, trusting in God, trusting in the work that Jesus did on the cross was his motivation for these believers in these churches in the areas of Galatia to encourage them, trust in Christ. Don't worry about the law. Don't worry about keeping the law. Don't worry about doing a bunch of things for your salvation. Jesus paid that price. And Paul was, I would even suggest he was a little bit angry that all so soon, so quickly, that these churches were going back and putting themselves under the law. Gentile believers being told, listen, you can believe in Jesus, but you got to follow the law. We can be very Pharisaical, don't you think? Just like them. Yeah, you can be a believer, but you have to pray every day. Yeah, you can be a believer, but boy, you better be reading your Bible. Yeah, you can be a believer, but man, you better be serving the Lord and leading people to Christ. All of those things I just listed are very good things, wouldn't you agree? And God wants you to do them. In fact, there's fruit from them if we would do those, if we would pray consistently, if we would read constantly, letting the Word of God wash over us, that we would grow. But it has nothing to do with salvation. And we should not put those burdens on one another. We should encourage one another, trust God, what He's doing in your life. He will work it out. Let's see what God's going to do. When I hear of something that's going on in someone's life, man, I know, hey, there's an opportunity for God to show himself. Another Calvary pastor in this state hurt himself. He fell at his home. He fell off some stairs and hurt his back. And it's unfortunate. I mean, you know the enemy's at work here, keeping him out of his pulpit. But I know God's going to work in his life. And we believe God can do a miracle in his life. So what's God doing in your life? What's happening in your situation where you're going, I need to see God show up? That's when we need to trust in his plan. That's when we need to trust in his work. Let God work. Do your part, but don't do God's part. We love to do God's part, don't we? Lord, you're taking too long. I got to help you out. I know you're busy, right? God's busy. He's got a lot of things to do. I know you had to hold the sun up this morning. Let me help you out in a situation in my life. You do what God tells you to do, and you don't do what God doesn't tell you to do. That's where we need to stay, trusting in him. So look with me, verse 11, as we go through this. It says, and here's Paul just finding a situation that he had to address. And I think this is so cool and so important. It says in verse 11, it says, now when Peter had come to Antioch, I, being Paul, withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed. For before certain men came from James, those were the Jews, he would eat with the Gentiles. But when the Jews came, or when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision, Jews of the circumcision. And the rest of the Jews also played, look at, the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. Hypocrisy. Peter, listen, God gave Peter a vision, did he not? Of the sheep coming down. Peter, rise up and eat. Oh, no, Lord. I eat only kosher diet. And God says, no, Peter, I'm doing something different here. Paul, God showed Peter that he was changing the rules. For a good Jew, those were difficult things. And God showed Peter in that time, he also showed, I am also pouring out my spirit to the Gentiles. I'm bringing the Gentiles into the family of God. Peter was the one that God showed this to. So it's so surprising that when Peter is in this area of Antioch, that listen, no Jews around. I'm going to hang out with my Gentile friends. We're going to eat together, have a pork sandwich, you know, do all these things that a good Jew wouldn't normally do. But when the leadership shows up, ooh, wait a minute, straighten up here. He wouldn't eat with the Gentiles any longer. Notice it says for fear of those that would come from James. Peter was living a hypocritical life. And because Peter compromised in his faith in Jesus, Barnabas was affected by it. And not only that, all the other Jews were affected by it. Guys, we can have influence on other people's lives. Our actions, our choices, the things that we do, people are watching you. Wait, he says he's a Christian, but he does that? I didn't think Christians did that. Wait, he says stuff like that? That stuff comes out of his mouth? I didn't know Christians should say that stuff. And see, compromise can really become the cancer in a body of believers or in the heart of a life of someone that's trying to follow Christ. So, again, we're not living to perfect ourselves. Jesus already did that. But we need to be good examples to people. And for Peter, he was living a hypocritical life. He knew, he saw the vision, God told him, the Gentiles, I'm coming to save the Gentiles. And here Peter says, you know what? I'm going to separate myself when there's leadership around. Basically, Peter was telling the Gentile believers there, you have to become a Jew too. His actions were causing others to put themselves under the law. That's not what God did. That's not why he did that. Listen, Paul, which I'm so excited about and so thankful for, you know, it says in verse 1, now Peter had come to Antioch. I withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed. Paul took action against Peter. Don't forget who Peter is. I mean, he's the great apostle, Peter, right? The one who always sticks his foot in his mouth. Until finally Jesus gives him the Holy Spirit and says, okay, Peter. And here Paul comes after the fact and says, Peter, you're wrong. Let me say this to us, guys. As believers, sometimes we can be wrong. I know it's shocking, but sometimes we can be wrong. And here the Apostle Paul unashamedly says, I'm going to confront him to his face. I'm going to get in his face and I'm going to say, Peter, what you're doing isn't right. Has anybody ever done that in your life? Has anybody come up to you and said, listen, the way you're acting, the what you're doing is not right. You're being a bad example. The Apostle Paul wasn't so necessarily worried about Peter himself. He's worried about the effect of Peter's life. And when somebody tells you you're wrong, we have to ask ourselves, not be hurt because we've done something wrong, but say, am I affecting other believers? Am I causing others to compromise in their faith? Well, we always love God's grace, don't we? Thank God for God's grace. Amen? Thank God for his grace. But we shouldn't live as though, well, God will forgive me. No, we should live lives that honor the Lord. Hypocrisy should not be in the church. Peter was a leader and Paul was not afraid to confront him. We need to be prepared to be confronted, and I will add, we should also be prepared to confront. Listen, you're talking to a guy that hates confrontation. I'd just as soon be wronged than get in an argument with someone. But sometimes it's important. Sometimes it's needed. Sometimes people need to know what you're doing in right. And if you do it with the right heart, I believe it can be received. Now, this says Paul, you know, confronted him. I withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed. I don't think Paul was arrogant. I think Paul showed grace. He did it in front of everybody, but he wasn't afraid to say, Peter, it's not right what you're doing, man. Think about it. Peter needed to hear this. Peter may have been doing it not even knowing. And sometimes that happens in our lives. We do things without really knowing. Verse 12 says, for before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles. In other words, this original language really means it was a habit of Peter to eat with the Gentiles. He did this all the time. But when these Jews showed up, he would try to act like a good Jew. Again, the hypocrisy. You know, the word hypocrisy means to act. It means to put on a show. And it's not right. It's not right what Peter was doing. And Paul was not ashamed to confront him. You know, everyone knows what it means to do something wrong. Everyone knows what it means to go against what you know is right. And everyone knows what it means to be under social pressure to do certain things. And it's important to receive instruction from the Lord. And maybe God will use other people. But don't let the world affect you. Peter was getting to this place where he was more worried about man than he was worried about God. And boy, that's a real thing, isn't it? Ooh, what if the other Christians see me do this? Or what if other believers see me doing that? Well, are we worried about what God sees? Because guess what? God sees everything. God sees it all. God knows the heart. So, Lord, please help us. We want to please you. We don't want to be a people pleaser. We want to be a God pleaser. Your actions should show that you're a follower of Christ, a believer in Jesus. The things you do, the way you act. Listen, nobody's perfect. We all make mistakes. But we all have an opportunity to help others in their time of need. We might be surprised that Peter compromised, but only if we don't believe in the weakness of the flesh. Listen, Peter wasn't super apostle. Peter, he had the Holy Spirit, right? Jesus died, the Holy Spirit got poured out on him. He had the Holy Spirit, but he still made a mistake. Why? Still in the flesh. No surprise. Sometimes we get in the flesh. When I'm in traffic, I get in the flesh a lot. I'm confessing that. My wife doesn't understand it. She says, you're such a patient person until you get into a car. And it's very true. People don't know how to drive. I'm starting a new ministry, How to Drive on 65. Okay. Oh boy, you got me. You got me. She'll tell you the story after. Listen, the flesh is there, and we're all that close from stumbling. None of us are perfect. Peter wasn't perfect. But Peter is an example to us that though the Spirit is in us, though we love God, though we pray to God, though we're good and obedient, there are still things we can mess up. And that's where God's grace shows up. I believe the Apostle Paul showed Peter grace firmly because he knew the effect it was having on Gentile believers. That's the big issue. Paul isn't so, necessarily concerned about Peter's walk with the Lord. He's worried about the effect. Even Barnabas, son of encouragement, even he was under hypocrisy. And all the Jews in Antioch were being drawn away. I believe it's why we have so many other kinds of churches, because they're drawn away to their own things instead of being obedient to God's word and his truth. This is our standard. The word of God is our plumb line. This is what we line up our lives to. Not a denomination, not a church, not a path. You line up to the word of God and to Jesus. That's what we're to do. Paul said in Romans 7:18, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells." Right? Nothing good dwells except the Holy Spirit. He goes on. "For to will is present with me, I want to do things, but how to perform what is good, I do not find." It's that battle in the flesh. It's that struggle with self. It's like taking care of me, getting what I want. Don't be a believer that only sees God as the one to get you what you want. Paul says, listen, in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. When I show up, when you show up outside of the Spirit, it can be trouble. But when we submit to the prompting and direction of the Spirit, that's when God can use us. Our standing is not so secure that we will not fall. Listen, Peter fell. Peter denied the Lord three times, as much as he said, "Never, Lord." But just as Peter fell, he also was restored. That's what God does, guys. He restores you. Don't be in a place where the enemy keeps you in defeat. Find victory in Christ. Find that forgiveness in Jesus. And live according to the truth. We go on to verse 14. It says, "But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel." You might want to underline or highlight truth of the gospel. That's Paul's motivation, the truth of the gospel. So he says, "But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel," because they're not living under the gospel. They were now living under the gospel plus the law. "I said to Peter before them all, if you being a Jew, live in the manner of Gentiles and not the Jews, why do you compel Gentiles to live as Jews?" If you're trying to compel someone to be a Christian, boy, you better be a good example of a Christian. And that's basically Paul saying to us, listen, you're a Jew, but you're living like a Gentile. You're living like you're putting yourself back under the law. And you expect the Gentiles to do the same thing and you don't even do it? Come on, Peter. And he goes on. He says, we who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles. To a Jew, the word Gentile meant sinner, right? Because God chose the Jews, so Gentile meant sinner. No, in verse 16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but here it is, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ Jesus that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. Paul looks at Peter, says, Peter, come on. You're a Jew. You've been delivered from under the law because Christ died for you. And now you're living like a Gentile, but you're expecting a Gentile to live like a Jew? You wouldn't think Peter would think this way, but his actions were revealing the truth to the Gentiles. Man, we're just not good enough. Justification. The word justified. I've always loved this definition. Just as if I've never sinned. Remember that. Justified. Just as if I never sinned. What Jesus did on the cross is took your sin away so that you can be justified as if you never sinned at all. Now, we all know we sin, right? But in God's eyes, our sins are forgiven. Our sins are removed. Our sins are erased. God doesn't think about our sin because of what Jesus has done. So to be in right relationship with God has nothing to do with what we do. That we should be good witnesses. That we should walk according to the truth of the gospel and the power of the gospel. What the flesh wants to do is justify itself. But what the Spirit wants to do is have us look to Jesus, who justifies us all. I mean, the word justified basically means you're declared innocent in court. And in spiritually, it means you before God. When you stand before God and he says, why should I let you into heaven? Your life, why should I let you in? And you just go, because of what Jesus did. That's the answer. Not, well, I tried my best. Not, well, I did more good than bad. No, the answer is because of Jesus. Because he made me justified. Because I mess up all the time and you mess up all the time. I hate to tell you. The flesh is always there. But the forgiveness is also there in Christ. So you are justified. And that, to me, is Paul's, again, thrust. It's his motivation is that to realize that these Gentiles were truly freed in Christ and that the Jewish believers weren't putting a burden around their necks. We all know, as believers, if you've been walking with the Lord long enough, you know there's things we should do and there's things we shouldn't do. That's religion. But it still is true. There's things we should do and there's things we shouldn't do. And when we do the things we shouldn't do, there's forgiveness. And when we don't do the things we should do, there's forgiveness and there's grace. That's what Jesus did for us. And man, if you truly grasp that and understand that, man, is there peace in your heart or what? Total peace. Total thanks. God, oh, Lord, I'm a dirty, rotten sinner. I think of that old man in the temple. There was the Pharisee who was, oh, I'm so glad I'm not like this. What was he, a tax collector? Yeah. And he's like, tax collector goes, oh, Lord, forgive me. I'm a sinner. It's the heart that God wants to see. Your heart. Where is your heart? Right? Where your heart is, there your treasure will be also. Or where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where's your treasure? Treasure's in Christ. Treasures in Jesus. Lord, that's the true value. All this other stuff. Listen, we all want to win the millions in the lottery. But you're not going to be able to take it with you. Maybe for a little while you'll be able to say, hey, I won the lottery. Listen, nobody in this room is going to win the lottery, even though my wife is convinced we're going to win the lottery. What? We won the lottery when we gave our lives to Christ. That was the true win. That's the golden ticket. You know, that's the Willy Wonka, right? Golden ticket. We believed in Jesus. And that means I have access to God. That means I can listen to his voice. That means I can trust in what he's doing. Paul's saying, listen, you need to trust in Christ. You don't even trust in your own abilities. What did the Jews do? They did everything in their power, what? To follow the Ten Commandments. You know how hard that is? Yes, you do. We miss it all the time. And Paul is saying, listen, we're justified in Christ. We're made right because of what Jesus has done. I am so thankful, and I know you are too, that it's what Jesus did and not what we do. We don't have to be nailed to a cross. The wages of sin is what? Death. And Jesus paid that price so that his death, we can live. Through his death, we can live. That's the beauty of the gospel. To be innocent before God. The psalmist wrote it this way in Psalm 143. Says, do not enter into judgment with your servant. This is speaking to God himself. For in your sight, no one living is righteous. No one living is righteous except for God himself, the righteous one who paid the penalty, paid the sin, the righteous requirement for God. Jesus is our golden ticket. All that matters is faith in Christ. That was Paul's motivation for these churches, your faith in Christ. How strong is your faith in God? When you panic, when you worry, when you get depressed, when you're overwhelmed, you're not trusting in God. You're not putting your faith in Christ, who works all things out for good. You must put your faith and trust into him. That's where it has to be. That's where it has to stay. Faith is putting yourself in a place where you're trusting God no matter what happens. How many in this room have found God to be very faithful? Yeah. We found him to be faithful. Why? Because he's shown us his faith, how faithful he is. He's never let us down. And you might think, well, he let me wait a long time, but that doesn't mean he let you down. God lets us wait because that's what we need. Right? If we got everything we wanted, if you got everything you wanted when you wanted it, listen, you would not rely on God. You'd be like, well, I get whatever I want when I want it. It's pretty good. But the waiting and the holding off and the trusting in God, that's what builds our faith and seeing him accomplish it. Finally, and getting to some of the good part here, in verse 17, but if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is Christ therefore a minister of sin? Certainly not. So Paul basically says, listen, we're seeking to be justified in Christ. It's okay, we're just as if we'd never sin. The problem is we continue to sin, right? So Paul says, listen, the logical thing is, well, if we keep sinning, even though he's justified us, if we keep sinning, is he now the minister of sin? Paul says, certainly not. There is no sin you can commit that God doesn't know you're going to commit. Think about that. There's sin you're going to commit that you don't know you're going to commit, but God knows it. And Jesus said, I'll pay for the price of that. I'll die for that. Every sin you will ever commit, Jesus said, I'll take it. There was a time in the Garden of Gethsemane, let's try that again, where Jesus, what? He prayed, God, if there's any other way, take this cup from me. In his humanity, Jesus said, if there's another way that I don't have to take the cross, Lord, is there another way? And then the Father said to Jesus, there's no other way. Guys, there's no other way. But listen, there is a way. The way is Jesus. And so Jesus' prayer, Lord, if there's another way, yet not my will, your will be done. We got to come to a place in our hearts when we ask things from God, when we pray to God, that we go, Lord, I would love this to happen in my life. I would love you to show up in this way. I would love you to provide in this way. But if you're not going to do that, I'm okay with it. Jesus asked, so there's nothing wrong with asking. But do we come to a place where we go, I want what you want, God. And if that means I have to live with this, if that means I have to go through this, if that means I have to lose this, then God, I'm okay with that. Because I want your will done in my life. I would love to say that's easy. It's not. It's not. For believers, sometimes life is very hard. But you're not doing it alone. You're doing it with God's help. So, if while we are, verse 17, but if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are also found sinners, is Christ therefore a minister of sin? Certainly not. For if I build again those things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. Paul's looking at Peter and he says, Peter, you've been delivered from living under the law, and now you want to build it up again? Peter, Christ died for you so that you could be free. And now you want to put yourself under bondage again? Paul's saying, listen, if I build again the things which I've been, that I destroyed, the things that I removed, the law that has been removed from me having to meet, then I'm a transgressor. Basically what we're saying, your sacrifice, Jesus, was not enough. Paul says, don't do that. Live in the freedom that God has given to you. Are you living in the freedom that Christ died to give to you? Freedom, truly free. Listen, we have thoughts, we have emotions, we have desires. There's those things that you know, consume us. But the result should come to a place as I am free in Christ. I have been delivered by the blood of Jesus. That's what brings us to a place of truly dying to self and living for God. Look at verse 19. For I, through the law, died to the law that I might live to God. Everybody knows this next verse. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. We're a bunch of walking dead people, dying to self. And I want you to admit, almost every minute of every day, we have to die to self. That we would live like the Apostle Paul. I have been crucified with Christ. I died when I gave my life to Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ living in me. Christ living in us. And if Christ is living in us, guess what? We should show the world who Christ is, because he's living in us. We've died to self. We don't want the attention. We want to give it to God. And for us to truly have this mentality that I'm no longer alive. I'm dead in Christ. When Jesus died on the cross, guess what? You and I died on the cross as well. And when he rose again, we rose to life as well. And one day we will rise again. One day we'll be done with all the flesh. We'll be done with the sin. But let's practice righteousness while we're still here. Relying on God, depending on God, but doing everything in our power to make the right choices, the right things that God wants us to do. To live with this mentality, I'm not living for myself anymore. A Christian that lives for themselves, that's just not possible. Why? Because we've given our lives to Christ. The question becomes, have you given your life to Christ? Have you surrendered your will for his? Have you truly said, I'm no longer living? Rob Taylor died in 1992 at an Easter service, and I began to live for God. And there was a lot of work he had to do, right? A lot of work that he has to do. But let him live through you. Let his grace live through you. Let his mercy live through you. People in this world need grace and mercy. They need it. That doesn't mean compromise the truth. That doesn't mean water it down. It means be gracious when you do it. Be gracious when you share truth. Again, I'm confident when Paul went to Peter, he was there with the love of Christ in his heart. He wasn't there to say, yeah, I'm better than Peter. No, that was not his heart. He said, I have been crucified with Christ. No longer I who live, but Christ lived in me. In verse 21, our last verse, I do not set aside the grace of God. For if righteousness comes through the law, look at this, then Christ died in vain. So if righteousness, Peter, if righteousness comes by keeping the law, then why did Jesus have to die? If we could be right before God by keeping the law, then we'd all be striving to keep the law. But Jesus died, so we don't have to keep the law because he fulfilled the law. And if we remain in him, guess what? We fulfill the law as well. Yet still being sinners. Trusting in his work is saying, God, I need your help. I need you to assist me, Lord. I need you to help me through what I'm going through in life. I need you to help me go through with my finances, with my relationships to my family, with my relationships to my friends, with people in the world. Lord, I need you to help me deal with the issues in life. There's nothing wrong with asking God why he does things. There's nothing wrong asking, why is it taking so long, Lord? And just like the Apostle Paul, he'll say, trust me. My grace is sufficient. My grace will get you through it. We've all experienced it. Paul was not afraid to confront Peter. We should not be afraid to help our brothers and sisters, but we should also be willing to be helped by someone else. If you're going through something and you feel like you're all alone, which you're not if you're a believer, you have the Holy Spirit with you, but there's brothers and sisters in this body, in the world, that want to walk with you, walk through that with you. Trust, helping you trust in the Lord. How many people have poured into my life? How many people have poured into your life because they were showing you just got to keep trusting in Jesus? And listen, it's not just lip service. We've experienced it. We've experienced God's grace in our lives. So trust him. Trust him in what he's doing in your life and how he's working. Stay faithful to him as best you can. And he will get us there. We look at this confrontation between Paul and Peter, and we wonder, did it take effect? Did it work? Go with me to Acts chapter 15. And we'll close right here. I promise. Acts 15. We'll pick up in verse 6. Acts 15, verse 6, on page 1552, if you have my Bible. It says in verse 6, now the apostles and elders came together to consider this matter. And when there had been much dispute, argument, talking, Peter rose up and said to them, men and brethren, you know that a good while ago God chose among us that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. So God, who knows the heart, acknowledged them by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did to us, and made no distinction between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now, therefore, why do you test God by putting a yoke on the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? That yoke was the law. But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved in the same manner as they. Obviously, Peter got the message. Obviously, Peter made some adjustments in his life. And I want to ask all of us, are we willing to make adjustments in our lives for the sake of others, for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of the truth? God, help us walk in your truth. God, help us to walk in the reality that the more we know you, Lord, the better equipped we are to help others to know you as well. Let's trust God this week with whatever he's doing, however he's going to do it. And just keep in that place where the Lord is speaking to you through his word, or he's speaking to you through prayer, letting you know that he's right there with you, and believe and know that he's working things out for your good, and he won't stop until that good is produced in your life. That's what he wants for all of us. Let's let him do it, shall we? Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word today. We thank you for the heart of the Apostle Paul, not ashamed to share truth, not ashamed to confront, not ashamed because it was so important to him that the truth of the gospel remain pure, that through faith in Christ, we are saved by putting our Trust in him. Again, not head knowledge, God, but truly heart and life knowledge. It does us no good to know of you. We need to know you. We need to walk with you. And so, God, help us in our lives. Help us, Lord, to embrace your truth and not compromise in any way. When we see in the world around us so much compromise, so much neglect to the truth, everyone wanting their own truth, everyone wanting to embrace their own reality. But Lord, that's just living for the flesh. And we pray that our walk, our Christianity, is being empowered by your Spirit. Lord, we know that the Holy Spirit can convict us of sin. We know the Holy Spirit can encourage us when we need it. So when we find ourselves in weakness, Lord, be our strength. I pray for all in this room and all that are listening, Lord, that we would confess at times we operate in the flesh. Forgive us. Forgive us for our sins. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for us willingly. Going to the cross, willingly pouring out your blood, pouring out your life, that we could be reminded this morning by the Apostle Paul that we have been crucified with Christ, that it's no longer we who live, but you living through us. Lord, we can't thank you enough for all that you do, all that you are, all that you're going to do. And Lord, we want to say today, we trust you. Your ways are higher than our ways. Your thoughts are higher than our thoughts. So may your will be done, and may you be glorified in us. We love you, Lord. We thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray.